Let's open up now that it is about 11 o'clock with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless this time and the Lord to heal and help these folks who are just really struggling today. And so, Father God, we don't want to leave anybody out, but we know that this body, this family is really struggling, Lord, right now with illness. And besides the COVID, there are colds and flus. I know Christina Ayers has been battling influenza for almost a month. And talking to her yesterday, she still needs your help and strength. So we are praying that you would restore the health of this body, that, Lord, you would give strength to those who need it. We ask you, Lord, for those also battling COVID or getting tested in the next few days, Lord, that they would have the most mild of symptoms, that you would heal them quickly. And for those getting tested, they would be found negative. We do pray in particular for those who are struggling with the worst symptoms. We know that John is having a rough time of it today, even lifting his head. And so we pray, Lord, your mercy upon the Worcesters. And also, Lord, your special mercy upon Peter. He is a strong and godly man, and we did not foresee this. But, Lord, you knew this. You knew where we were going to be today. And so you were not the God who was surprised. And I ask you, Lord, that in your infinite wisdom and mercy, that you would reach down and touch Peter, clear his lungs. Lord, let him breathe. Lord, I know his sodium levels are low. I don't know why that is bad, but that is bad, apparently. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise those levels up to where they need to be. And I just pray, Lord, that Peter would be restored to Julie very soon, that you would comfort Julie. And, Lord, bless her for just being a wonderful wife to him and getting him to the hospital. And just, Lord, help that family, we ask. And again, for anyone else struggling, battling, I know that the new diagnoses today, Lord, that you would give strength. And I pray, Lord, you'd restore this body to its fellowship next week, should you tarry, Lord, and that we would have a better report about Peter. So we give these things to you. We also give you this time together, but also apart. Lord, that you would do a great and wonderful work through your word and through this message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, again, I'm so glad you were able to join us online today. I was sort of hoping, I know I told everyone to stay home, I was sort of hoping one or two of you would sneak in. Looking at 200 empty seats is not always not always what I look forward to, but I do look forward to seeing you folks here, at least online. And I did get to worship the Lord a little bit today, and I hope you were able to worship the Lord a little bit today, even if it's in your home and maybe just with your family. I think it's important, not just that we praise God, but it helps us to remember who he is and his power and his might and his love and his mercy. And so I encourage you, if you get a moment today, as we're going to talk about today, take some time to sing a worship song. Take some time to praise God today, and it's going to put you, and he's going to help you with these troubles in our lives and understand maybe a little bit more of his perspective and take us out of ours. Well, if you have your Bibles handy, and obviously I don't have the screen ready. I actually had several things I'm going to put on the screen today, but the Lord knows what he's doing. So if you have your Bibles handy, if you would turn with me. We're going to be in a lot of different places today, but we're going to be primarily in Philippians chapter 4 this morning, if you want to turn there. But I'll be starting our reading out of Proverbs chapter 18, just one verse this morning, and that is verse 21. And if you would like to stand or you'd like to sit, I am certainly standing for the reading of God's word. And it begins today in Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Today we're talking about thinking on these things, and I'll be explaining what these things are in a few moments. But unsurprisingly, God's word was far ahead of its time and still is. Now, never does the Bible affirm magic words that make God do something. Nor does the Bible write off what we say and what we think as if they don't matter, have no effect. Scripture, though, affirms what psychology and what science have only begun to discover, that what we think what we think, and what we choose to hold on to, and what we speak aloud, affect our lives and others, those around us. You know, you take a child and you put him or her in a home where he or she is consistently demeaned and criticized. And unless something supernatural happens and they meet Jesus, do you know what's going to happen to that child? That child will almost certainly grow up and live daily with those words said to them, thrown at them, that have hurt them, affecting every part of their life for the worse. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, it breaks the spirit. Take that same child and raise them in a home where life and truth and love are spoken over them. And that same child has unlimited potential. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious are the words like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and so critical are what we think and then speak from what we think, that Jesus declares in Matthew 12:36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Leaving us with a choice to make. Every one of us has a choice to make about how we choose to perceive this world, how we choose to act and to react to things that happen around us. Or to us? Do we choose to dwell on and live in the pain, in the negative, in the hurt we have faced, even regurgitating the criticisms of ourselves and maybe the criticisms of others? Or do we choose to overcome these things? And how often how we talk about what happens to us and around us, it makes all the difference. Do we think and speak as if Christ Jesus is the center of our day? Or is it the bad that is always pulling us and pushing us and engaging us? That choice we make will take us in wildly different directions. And this is the spot where I need to clarify. Sometimes I need to, within my preaching, tell you what I'm not preaching. I need to clarify before we move on that I recognize that what I am speaking about from the Bible today has been used and abused by less thoughtful and more confused people to make incorrect applications, odd things like if you're sick, just believe and speak wellness and somehow you'll just be well. That kind of teaching is both unbiblical and irrational, part of that positive confession movement. Now, I believe in healing. I believe in prayer. We've certainly been praying a lot this week. And I believe that God can heal instantaneously. I believe that. Yet I also believe that God often blesses us and uses doctors, nurses, and medicine. Again, nowhere in Scripture do we say that we say magic words and poof. God is sovereign. He is not ours to manipulate. What I am actually teaching about today, and what I've changed teaching about today on two different occasions this week, are our choices in how we process the world and process our circumstances. And the question is, do we redirect our thoughts and words, especially those that are harmful, especially the news that is bad, do we redirect those things towards good and towards God? Or toward negativity? Perspective matters. The Apostle Paul, writing from prison, which we know is not a great place or a place that we would want to be in. It's not a place of joy. But writing from prison, In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And if you've got your Bible open, there's that word there. It's not sometimes. It's not when I'm feeling like it. It's not when everything is great. It says, rejoice in the Lord. And he's saying this from prison always. And again, I say, rejoice. Paul wrote from a place of suffering to a church that was suffering. And if you read a few verses back, he was writing to us today, of course, to that church back then, but he was writing in particular to two ladies in that church who were quarreling over something so small that he doesn't even bother to name the issue. Paul simply tells them, make peace and rejoice. Do not based on the circumstances that are driving them to anger, but based on the knowledge, trust, and the hope that we have because our names are written in the book of life. Meaning that we have the assured hope of eternal life through Jesus and should know that no matter the immediate situation right now that is presently happening, whether that is in prison or a personal conflict, that paradise and salvation from all that ills and wrongs us is not that far away. And that is a form of godly processing. That despite the conflict and imprisonment, it's not that we never have times of sadness. It's not that we never mourn. Of course we do. But we do so knowing that we still have much to rejoice over. And then Paul writes in verses 5 through 7, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He's not far off. He's at hand. He's right here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it can't be fully understood. It can't be quantified and boxed and bottled, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's writing that this world and this life we are going to go through is going to throw things at us. Things that will want us to be anxious, to disturb us, even to make us angry. And yet everything by prayer and supplication, meaning giving it up, giving it over to God. And notice how we do it. With thanksgiving. And that's not the holiday we just celebrated, of course, but a mode. A life of thankfulness. Thankful that we know and have the right place and person to give our mess to. And then a promise of peace guarding us. And so the question is, how do we deal with these issues in a mode of thanksgiving and thankfulness? How do we choose to redirect our thoughts and words because of the mess all around? How do we redirect them toward good and toward God and keep away negativity? How do I dwell in life and not death? Well, as a confessed and reformed and yet always forgetting and falling down and needing to be reformed again, anxiety-driven man, my root sin is anxiety and fear, I'll tell you. The answer is the God-given discipline of confession and redirecting my thoughts and words upward toward God instead of confessing despair. Or as Paul puts it in verses 8 and 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, don't just think about them. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. From that place of process, he goes on to state in verses 11 through 13, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. How do we get a stable and a mindset, a shift in direction when our world and our weeks have been upside down? How do we do this? How do we get to the secret of facing plenty and hunger? It's knowing and believing and truly proclaiming, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. We start by putting into practice verses 8 and 9. Thinking on those things and practicing those things so that we can know and we can believe that the God of peace is not out there, but right here and with us. I came face to face with this very issue my junior year of college. I was upset and I was facing some issue, some person that doesn't matter a whole lot now because I can't even remember what the issue was. But when you're young, everything's a big problem. Then you get older and realize there are real problems in the world. And so I was facing some issue that doesn't even matter today. And my roommate comes in. His name is John Becker. And he came in and he was upset over the same situation as me. And we were upset together and we were ruminating on it. We were probably reinforcing the negativity in the room and kind of the dark cloud just got darker. And then he said something I remember very profoundly. And he said, we need to read Philippians chapter 4. Well, we were in Bible college, so that probably is something we ought to do, is read the Bible. And so we turned over to Philippians chapter 4 and began to read. And as we read it, we got to verse 8. Whatever is noble, honorable, and so on. And he said to me, Phil, we need to put this into practice. What is true about the person we are angry with? What is honorable about them? What is commendable about the person that we are mad at, about this situation we are going through? And you know what? Even though we didn't like the situation we were in, maybe even that person very much, by the end of verse 8, we went through all of them. That situation, it wasn't quite so bad. And that person wasn't quite the devil we had made them out to be in our minds. Because in those moments of anger, despair, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, we chose to honor Christ by processing and redirecting and relying on Him instead of letting the situation and the person and the criticism consume and control our thoughts and then our actions. And the end result was glory to God and good. Now, the external problem, it remained, right? It didn't go away because we spoke these words. We're not the positive confession movement. But our hearts and minds were recentered on who and what was of most importance, on the life and love of Jesus, and on His person, not our person, His person. Therefore, the path we took after those moments was much different and came to a different ending, because it was grounded in emotional and spiritual health and faith in Christ. So this message today probably feels familiar, because along with the gospel and forgiveness, it's one of those truths and one of those messages we need to be reminded of, especially this week, if you've read all the church emails. I actually had an entirely different sermon, half written, half prepared on John chapter 1 that I scrapped and will probably be making an appearance eventually. But our church family and in our personal lives, we have been through a lot. And by Wednesday, I knew we needed a change in topic. We needed to talk about the reality of Christ in all of these situations that we are facing. Because as the world changes around us and the sands begin to shift, our response needs to be to the solid rock that is Jesus Christ, who never moves and never shifts. Our response needs to be upwards and to think on these things that we are given reasons to rejoice and have thanksgiving and center us not on the circumstances, not on abounding with much or being brought low, but on Christ who never changes. And so today and right now, putting this passage into practice, what is true in your life, in our life, what is true that we can think of? What is true? Well, how about we begin with the truth of God's love for us? Can that love ever change? No, absolutely not. The sacrifice of Jesus, our Redeemer, it proves God's love. That while you and I were still sinful, rebellious, even enemies of God, God in Jesus Christ came as a baby that we're going to be celebrating in just a few weeks, lived a life free of sin and rebellion. He took our rightful punishment, not because he had to, but because he loved us on the cross and bought us forgiveness and rose again to bless us with faith to believe in everlasting life. What is true? What is true in our lives? God is true always. What about honorable? What is something honorable we can think on today? Maybe something smaller, because everything is smaller than the gospel. I saw this week an article. I had pictures on the screen. You'll have to look it up yourselves, about a man named Jim Schmidt. Jim Schmidt, 94, of Anchorage, Alaska. Again, you can read the story for yourself. But this man, Jim Schmidt, served in 3 wars. In fact, he enlisted at age 14 in World War II because he wanted to help. He got caught. And after the first year, he got caught and was sent to the Merchant Marines. But he re-enlisted for Korea. He re-enlisted for Vietnam. He served in 3 wars. He earned 2 silver stars for heroism, 3 bronze stars for heroism, 2 purple hearts, because he wanted to help his country, his family. I don't know Jim Schmidt, but I see an honorable man there. And we can celebrate honorable men and women who served our country all around us. Whatever is just. Now that word just, that might trip us up. The meaning here, if you look at it, means righteous or virtuous. Let me tell you about some justness I saw this week, I heard about this week. There are many families right now who are caring for loved ones this week, who are going out of their way to love and minister, friends and family, going into places that are even dangerous for them, because they want to love on, they want to help, they want to be there for people who are suffering. I think of Julie this week and being there for Peter, loving on Peter. I know I'm probably embarrassing her today, but that's okay. I think of what Julie has done for Peter this week. And I think, what a virtue, what righteousness, at the expense of their own health. How just is that? What about pure today? Pure means clean, sacred, holy today. This is when online I would have had people here answering this question, but I was thinking about the purity of us coming together, though, even if we're not in person, coming together, taking time, sacred time, out of our week, out of our day, to join each other online and to learn, to worship, and to think on these things. What about lovely this week? Well, I saw something lovely just a few weeks ago. We have a brand new baby in the church, baby Elizabeth. And mom and aunt sent me some pictures, me and Samantha, some pictures this week of baby Elizabeth. Is there anything more lovely than a beautiful baby being born to a church family? I don't know. She's a lovely little one, though, isn't she? What about commendable? What can we think on today that's commendable? What in your life can be commended? What in the lives of those around you can you commend today? Well, I was thinking about this, and I'm going to embarrass some more folks today. But we have three people here, and I won't mention their names because then I'll get emails. We have three people today on the Benevolence Committee, and they have been going out of their way. We've gotten a slew of needs that have come in to the church, and they've gone out of their way to make sure families have Christmas presents, to make sure others have oil in their tank, people that can't afford it right now. And I was talking with one of those members today, just a few days ago, and they had a list of needs they're trying to meet. These are people not paid to do this. These are people giving of themselves and giving of their time. And there's no intrinsic benefit to them. And yet they're leaders in the body here, who say we have a community that is lost and dying, and the way we're going to meet them is first by meeting some of these physical, practical needs, and they've dedicated their time, their energy, to loving people. Amen. If that's not commendable, I don't know what is. These are the people that got the Thanksgiving baskets put together. You got a Thanksgiving basket. That wasn't me. I didn't go to the store. That's the Benevolence Committee right there. That's what they did. How about excellence? What in your life, in your family, in your community has been excellent that you can think on this week and thank God for this week? I'll let you fill in the blank on that one. What has been excellent? Putting aside all the news, all the hard things, what excellence have you seen this week that you can praise God for? And if there is anything worthy of praise, I want to thank God today that even if, and you can fill in the blank, that even if this difficult thing, this illness, this problem, this situation, I can know and I can praise God and we can praise God together, that if we are trusting in Jesus, that whatever we are going through, that our names are written in the book of life. That this world, this place, these problems, even if they bring us to our end, our names are written in the book of life. We have eternal life, eternal hope. Whether our week has been something of a nightmare, and I know it has been for many, I know it has been, or has been the best week of your life, and if it has been the best week of your life, thank God someone's had a good week this week. We all need to be reminded of all the blessings that God has bestowed. And yes, we do mourn with those who mourn. We do. And there are correct and necessary times and places for all kinds of emotions. I understand. But we are never meant to be defined by mourning or defined by anger or defined by anything else, except our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are meant to be defined by Jesus and the hope that we have in Him and the hope that we proclaim and confess with our lips, because what we confess matters. And what we do with that confession endures. It's the most important confession we are ever going to make. Romans 10:9-10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And we shall not forget that, my friends. We shall not. We shall not forget all that Jesus has done for us and is doing in the world and shall do in bringing us home. Because even death is not the end for the Christian. Even death is not the end for the one who trusts and believes and is justified. And each of us should, and I plead with you, needs to take time, even daily, to confess Jesus and the good things and the true things and the honorable things and the just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent things and all the things worthy of praise that he has either given to us directly, like life and redemption, or those things that he has given us indirectly, like friends and maybe a good meal today, maybe the joys of seeing some children play. There is good that God has given us in this life, no matter how our weeks have been. And confession, and confess not just the pain and the trial, but the hopes and the joy and the peace. And so we were supposed to make one final confession at the end of this service today. We were to take communion together today. Communion that says no matter what is happening around us, or even to us, that God in Christ Jesus has done something for us that is pure and honorable and commendable and all of the above. That we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Not once, but often. Because we, every one of us, needs to be reminded of these symbols. And I have these symbols here today. Of the juice and the cracker, of the body and the blood shed for the remission of our sin. Thinking on these things and proclaiming these elements, they change us, they recenter us, this proclamation. And it recenters us on the eternal and the divine and the good, that who is above all things and is with us and is keeping us and who defeated death, that we may have life, eternal and abundant, because of the blessings and the grace of our good God. So, not as official communion today, because we are all separated, but as individuals or maybe as families, around our tables as we come to lunchtime, in just probably a few minutes for many of us, why not take a few moments before eating that wonderful food that God has provided, before we even bless the food, to count our blessings, to name them, as the song goes, what is true, what is honorable, what is good, what is lovely today, what is pure, what are blessings from God. And let's take a few moments today and tomorrow and even after that to recenter our lives, to recenter our thoughts and our actions and confess how great our God is, how powerful our God is, the blessings our God has given us. Let us do that today, knowing that no matter what we are facing, we face it not alone, but together. We face it not alone, but with our God by our side, giving us strength. And so even as we pray and end this service, and we're going to lift up Peter once again, let us thank God. Let us confess and think on these things this morning. And so, Father, we miss the fellowship together. We miss our time of talking and worshiping, our time of joy and our time of just being in your presence together. But we recognize that your presence is with us right now. We recognize that your goodness and your mercy are in our lives as we speak and as we pray. Lord, we recognize the hard week and the number of families, and probably many watching, who are battling or waiting for results, struggling with COVID. And we pray for every one of them, a peace that passes all understanding. We pray over them that you would please remove the virus from their bodies. We pray, Lord, especially for John, who is struggling, and even more so for Peter, that Peter's oxygen continues to rise, that he would not have to be in that ICU a day longer, that, Lord, the doctors would be surprised because you are removing, healing, helping him. And as we fast and pray for Peter, we also say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the life you have given us. Thank you for the breath. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of people like Peter and like Julie. We want to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, and recenter our minds and thoughts on you. So please, on one hand, help and heal, comfort, Lord, those who are hurting, especially Peter. But on the other hand, we don't want to forget to say thank you. And help us, Lord, not simply to see the negativity, but to confess your goodness, confess all the blessings, and confess and think on these things, and act on these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And amen. Today, as I'm sure you're going to be signing off in just a few minutes, just want to remind you to greet each other in the comments before you go. Also, if you are a member, you may give at KeyserFallsAssembly.church in the Give tab. That always helps. And I pray you have a great day. For those on the email list, I will be letting you know any new information. If you're part of this body and you're not on the email list, you can shoot me a private message, or if you want to put your email on the main thing, that's fine too, I guess, and I can put you on that list. But please continue to pray. And also, please take some moments today to think on these things from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Think on what is honorable, commendable, lovely, pure, true in your life today, and give praise to God. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you hopefully very soon. God bless. Oh, let us pray as the Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.